today called Reclaimed. And this time of year, we gather around the table with our families. And most of the time, what do? We swap stories. We ag each other on. We drop food on the floor and then put it on someone else's plate, right? Like, we do the good things that families do. But more importantly, we connect. And what we want to do over this entire connect, this season of gathering around the table, is we want to connect. We want to reclaim the table together. And what better way to do that than to know the stories of our family? Because if we just gather around the table in this digital age that we live in and just look at our plate and eat, it's just kind of like we're in the military or something, right? We don't get to know each other. We're drones. And so what I want to tell you through that is, in this series, we're going to get to know our family. We're going to have someone different every week. Sometimes we're going to have two folks sharing their story. Sometimes we're going to have one person sharing their story. But throughout these next few weeks, we're going to get to know each other as a family. And I am so honored that we get to do that. It's such a privilege to be able to do that, that Jesus has surrounded us with people who are willing to share their story. So these are going to be people from all walks of life, people who have had different seasons in their life, people who have had a lot going on in their life, and they're willing to share that with you. So today, as we get ready for that, I'm going to pray here in just a moment, but after I pray, we're going to welcome Tracy Freeman today to share his story, share what God has done in his life, what God's doing in his life. And I promise you today, you're going to hear exactly what Jesus would have you hear. So if everybody will get ready to pray, and then we are going to welcome Tracy to the stage. Dear Jesus, thank you for this time together. Thank you that we get to be in your house. We don't deserve to get to be here, Jesus. We don't do this for our fame or for our glory, but instead for your name and yours alone. So thank you for your faithfulness. God, even when we can't see it, even when we don't know what's going on, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for today, Jesus. I pray that you would just anoint Tracy from head to toe with your spirit. I pray that every word that comes out of his mouth would be life. Jesus, I pray that it would fall on the ears and hearts of those that are listening within the sound of my voice and his voice, wherever they are, through whatever day they're in, and that they would experience you in a fresh new way. And I pray today that everyone could say that when they came to the house of the Lord, they left better than how they walked in. We love you, Jesus. Be with us today as we continue to reclaim the table, and we reclaim it with your name. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Everyone, give Tracy a round of applause. Thank you for being here, Tracy.
No, it's my pleasure. You good?
Let's try this. There we go. Yeah, there we go. Here we go. All right, Tracy's gonna take it away.
Wow. Okay, so I get to share my story. We're talking about this series, Reclaimed. And when he first brought up to me that I was going to be asked to share my story, I had to think about, what does it mean to be reclaimed? What is it? I mean, it just, like, I was never unclaimed that I knew of, you know. But anyway, so what I did was, as I thought about that, and I came up with the five, what I call the six W's, okay? So I had to think about who, what, when, why, where. So who was I when I was reclaimed? Where was I? Why was I? You know, and then the sixth was, I always ask myself, how? How was I reclaimed? So since it starts with the letter H, I had to have a W, so I added a W and made it wow, you know? So anywho's, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to start with a scripture. And if you have your Bibles or the Bible app, you can open it up. And we're going to start, I'm going to start at Psalms 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saves such as be of a crushed spirit. When I was reclaimed, that sums me up. I was broken. I was broken by years and years of a rough childhood that I'm not going to get into today. But also because of life events that happened along the way in my adult life. So the who part of the six W's is really simple. It's me and the Lord. You know, who was I? You know, what happened? What was I going through? What did he do for me? All of that good stuff. But one that sticks with me is when. When was I reclaimed? I was alone. And every single time that the Lord just did what he does best in my life, I was alone. And I don't understand why that is, but I guess that's just the way he does things. So my second verse that I'm going to go to is in Psalm 102, verse number 4. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. When I came out of the Army, I was married. And I came back to the States, and my wife came back later, and I got the news. We picked her up at the airport. On the way home from the airport, I got the news. And I'm just going to be real and be honest, because this is my story. This is reclaimed. And this is just what it is. So I got the news that there had been a relationship outside of the marriage. And after some period of time, we agreed, and so I took her back to the airport. And I remember, I'll never forget the image of her walking away and around the corner. And as I turned to leave, because I knew I wouldn't see her again, I remember one tear falling down my face, and I said, that's all she's going to get, was one tear. Now, I had a whole bunch of them bottled up, but only one made it out. And for me, I was so broken in my mind and spirit that for me, that was a show of strength that I could, you know, hold it back, you know. So anyways, the first time that I remember hearing from God was some years later, and I was in my second marriage. Now, what happened in the second one, she had a child already when I met her, and then we had one of our own together. Life was really hard. We were really poor. We were struggling for everything. And I couldn't find work anywhere. Nothing I tried seemed to work. So she found a job. I stayed at home, changed the diapers, fed the baby, you know, all the good stuff, right? One day, she came home from work, walked in the door. I'm like, hey, how are you? Glad you're home. She went straight down to the bathroom. She changed her clothes, took a shower, got all dolled up, and walked right back out the door. And I said, where are you going? And she said, I'm going out. And I said, well, why don't you go out with me? And she said, because I can't stand you. And she didn't say it, she yelled it. That right there was the first time that I ever felt true rejection. I mean, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I mean, I'm used to not getting picked first for the dodgeball team. I'm used to not getting picked first for the baseball team. I got that. They'd stick me way out in the far, far left field. I think they created another position way back in the far corner just for me so I could participate. And I was used to dealing with that kind of rejection, you know. But this, coming from someone that you loved, that really nailed me hard. So that evening, after I'd put the boys to bed, I went into the room and I crawled in the corner of the closet. And I curled up in a ball and I sat there. And when she came home from work, or when she came home, that's where she found me at. I stayed in the relationship. I stayed in the home. I tried my very best. I poured every ounce of emotional energy, every trick in my mind could think of. I mean, I made signs, you name it. I did it trying to get her to love me. There was nothing I didn't try to get back, to win back her love. And the pain was so great from the rejection that I couldn't hold it inside of me anymore. I had to get it out. So what did I do? Well, I couldn't do anything really because I got the boys there. So I would go into the bathroom, close the door, and I would make a fist with both of my hands, and I pummeled my face. Black, blue, yellow, didn't matter. Knuckles bleeding, didn't matter. I had so much pain inside of me, and I had to get it out. I couldn't carry it. And I tried to make myself feel physically as bad as I felt emotionally. It didn't work. Nothing worked. So then the next step I took, because I don't believe that I could take my own life, because I don't believe that my life was mine. I believe it was the Lord's. But I took a fork and I raked my arm and I scraped and I scraped and I scraped and I scraped until the blood showed and I scraped until the tendon showed. I dug. I tried to dig my pain out with a fork. I was broken. I was devastated. My life, what life? I was dead. My soul just screamed within me. The hurt was so bad. Finally, I couldn't take it. I knew that I had to go. I had to leave. So I left. That hurt. That hurt a lot. To leave the two boys, one that I'd known since he was, 6 months old, and my son, who I was with at the birth and cut his cord and everything, you know, to walk away from that. Yeah, we didn't have much, but what we had, I was loving. Was it tough? Yeah. Would things get better? Sure. Well, they didn't get better this time. So I left. So what happened is, and I don't remember how this happened, but I found my way to shelter. And that pain that I had felt was still within me. It was still in there, consuming me. It was consuming me. I went from, 160 pounds to 118 pounds. My skin turned gray. My eyes were sunk into my head. Every bone on my body, you could see it right through the skin. I had complete strangers tell me, why don't you just go ahead and die? I even had a person that loves me, supposed to have loved me, said, you know, most people would kill themselves by now. And I would lay in bed at night, and I would put my pillow over my face, and I would scream in anguish, scream in anguish. I cannot begin. I mean, it was deep, guttural. Every ounce of pain I had within me trying to get it out verbally by screaming into my pillow. One night, I was laying in bed. I put the pillow over my face, and I just started to scream. And I heard a voice. I now know that that was the voice of God, my Savior, Jesus. And he said, why are you doing this? He said, what you're doing now, you're doing to yourself, and I love you too much to let you continue. That wasn't the instant that I was healed. That wasn't the day that everything became okay. But that was the first small step in a journey that he's led me on to recovery, to healing, to restoration. And that is when that's when I learned how much he loved me. You know, I grew up as a child. When I was a kid, I was raised in the Southern Baptist way of doing things. And you went to Sunday school. I mean, you went to Vacation Bible School every summer. And you went to as many Vacation Bible Schools as your parents could get you to. Why? Well, it wasn't because you needed Jesus. It was because they needed a babysitter. Well, that's just the truth. But God uses all things for his good, right? And it was in those Vacation Bible Schools, every time they would say, here I was, I mean, I'm a little kid. And I remember them asking, doing the invitation at the end of the week, anybody that wanted to accept Christ, my little legs, I'd be running down to the front every time. One time, I'm about, I don't know, 11 years old, maybe 12 years old, and I'm standing in the church, and I'm at the end of the row, and I'm hanging onto the pew in front of me, and they're singing the invitation song, and this is the period of service where you come forward. If you want to make a public declaration of faith, you come forward. Well, my mom and dad didn't know anything about it. My sisters didn't know anything about it. But the night before, I had been on my knees in my room. And I had asked Christ to save me, to come into my life then. Now, I had asked him earlier, but I was just a little kid. And I can only imagine how beautiful a sound that was to the Lord to hear a child asking him, you know, save me. The environment that I grew up in was harsh. It was brutal. And I'm not going to get into the details for two reasons. Number one is because the Lord took it. Everything that I went through, and I'm going to tell you about it, he took it. And he brought me to a position where I was able to honestly and truly forgive. And I'm not bringing that back into my life. That garbage that he took out, it's gone. It's at the dump right now, rotting where it belongs. If Christ, and this is a life lesson I've learned, if Jesus comes into your life and he takes the garbage out of your life, don't go running behind him trying to get it back. He took it for a reason. You didn't need it in your life. It was dragging you down. It's holding you back. It's keeping you from being the wonderful person that he created you to be. It's keeping you from being able to connect with him the way that he wants you to connect with him. So if God takes the trash out, let him take it. I mean, seriously. I remember thinking at one point in my life, I remember thinking, my trash is too dirty for God. Why in the world would I bring this to him? Why would I carry this garbage to Christ? Don't I have something better to give him? Nope, I didn't. All I had was what I had. So here I am. I'm separated from my wife. My kids are in another state. I'm walking around. I don't care whether I live or die. I couldn't eat. I didn't have a desire to eat, which is just like I said in that last verse. My heart is smitten, withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. The psalmist who wrote this, he knew pain. He knew what it felt like to be brokenhearted. That right there, man, when I read that, that really hit home with me. So, over a period of time, the Lord gave me the coping skills to learn how to live this new life that without my family, you know, that's a big adjustment period there. And he walked me through it. He got me through it. One day, I was sitting on my couch. No, let me back up. I was sitting at my desktop, and all of a sudden, there was this huge, I can't describe it without blowing the speakers, just bam, knock on my door. I jumped up thinking, oh my God, one of those birds has done killed itself, flying into my door. When I got to the door, I did see a bird trying to fly away, which it did. But on my door was, it looked like God took this bird, dipped it in fingerprint powder, and just plastered it against my glass door. I could see every detail of that bird. Every feather, its eye, I could see the lines of its feet on my door. It stayed there for days. Matter of fact, it stayed there for this whole rest of what I'm about to tell you here. I didn't know it. That was God knocking on my door. He was letting me know he's coming for a visit. So I go back to my desktop. I'm doing my thing. Day passes. No big deal. Everything's cool. One day, it was a night actually, I was sitting on my couch, not a care in the world. I was at peace, wasn't thinking anything special, nothing. Wasn't listening to music. I'm just sitting there alone. Like I said, every time he came, I was alone. And all of a sudden, I heard a wind. And this wind was huge. It was bigger than Trump huge. Huge. Huge wind. I heard a mighty, powerful wind, and it was coming. And I remember thinking, oh my God, this thing's going to hit the house. I didn't know what it was. I mean, it was huge wind. All of a sudden, that wind, it blew through me. It blew through me from my right to my left. It was like God took his hand and just said, whoosh. And in an instant, everything that was inside of me was outside of me. That's the only way I know how to describe it. Every hurt, every scar, every pain, everything, everything that was in me was now out of me. I was an empty vessel. That's the only way I know how to describe it. It's like you took a vase and dumped the water out, and there you go. That was me. I'm just an empty vessel. I said, I don't remember, honestly, what I said. I was so awed. I didn't know what to, I was speechless. I go to bed. The rest of the day passes. I go to bed. A couple days later, I'm sitting on my couch again. Wasn't thinking anything. I'm still an empty vessel. There's nothing really notable going on. And all of a sudden, I heard this crashing sound. I realized that my fortress was falling. That's what it sounded like. I had this monstrous fortress built up to protect me. I started building it when I was a little kid. And every painful thing that I went through or had happen in life, I added another block, brick. Once I got to the point where I felt like I was suitably protected, I just put barbed wire on top, put a couple machine guns up there, dug a moat, slapped some alligators in it. Nobody, emotionally, nobody, and I mean nobody, was getting into me. I was not receiving any love at all at that point in my life. None. None. I was so broken that if love didn't hurt, it wasn't love. Because of the way I was raised, love was pain. Love was suffering. I was messed up, people. My brain was all kind of messed up. Emotionally, I was like dead earth. Nothing's growing here, right? And all through my adolescent years, my teenage years, if I had a date with someone that I was really into, there would become a point in a relationship when I realized I'm having some really big feelings for this girl. Well, is she dove me or is she going to hurt me? I mean, I'm used to being hurt, so, you know. But I wanted to be open. I wanted to come out. You know what I mean? I wanted to be able to love. But I was scared of getting hurt. So rather than open my fortress and let them come in, I'd kick them to the curb. And that happened a lot. And the reason that it happened was because if it didn't hurt, it wasn't love. And I could judge, that's how sick I was, I could judge how deep their feelings were for me, but how much grief they showed when I rejected them. And that was my meter. That's how I could tell how much I loved. And if their pain meter was up here, I would run after them, try to get them back, because I knew then they loved me. And I would try so hard. We see how that went, you know. But that's how broken I used to be. If it didn't hurt, it wasn't love. Back to my fortress falling. I was sitting on the couch. It was 10:30 at night or so. It was quiet. All of a sudden I heard, I can't describe it other than to say, huge, massive concrete blocks that I had built my fortress up with crashing down, all just crashing down. And they didn't fall in on me. I did notice during the sound, I did notice that they fell away from me. And as soon as the noise stopped, I was crying and I said, Lord, how could you do that? How could you get into my fortress? Nobody could get through. I was proud of that fortress I built, y'all. It protected that tiny little spark of life that I had, that I carried with me from my childhood. That wall had protected that flame, that tiny, tiny flame, had somehow managed to make it and survive. And that wall had protected it, and God tore it down. And I was like, God, how can you do this? How could you get through? Nobody could get through my wall. And I heard him laugh and he said, I was in there with you when you built it. He was right beside me the whole time. And then it dawned on me, everything that I went through in my childhood, he was right there beside me. Every broken heart in life, he was right there beside me. Every time I got ridiculed in high school, made fun of, right there beside me. Everything in life that had caused me to build that wall a little bit further, right there beside me. He had never left me. He was with me all along. He was all this time probably begging me to realize he was there, honestly. But when you're that broken, you can't. You don't even recognize love when you see it. You don't even know what love is. Honestly, if love doesn't hurt, it ain't love. That's what I kept, you know, that's where I was, that's what I thought. So he tears down my wall. And now, not only am I an empty vessel, I am terrified. Because this little spark, this tiny ember of life that is me, that's all that's left of all I have, all I ever had is that tiny spark, and now it's vulnerable. The slightest gust would, poof, it had been out. I couldn't protect it. My wall was tore down. So, anywho's, a couple days later, I was walking back into my living room, and I saw two hands in front of me. Now, I don't remember what was in those hands, but I must have known on some level what what they were, I don't remember. But I do remember that I had this feeling that I got to choose what I wanted to be filled back up with. Because if you put, you know, if you dump the water out of a vase and you put, something's going to fill that back up. And I got to choose what I wanted to be filled back up with. And I remember saying, and I said it out loud, I said, I choose love. The hands disappeared. I went on about my business. That dove print still on the door. A couple days later, I was leaning up against my door. I was looking out at the red barn that's across from me. Beautiful day. Quiet, birds chirping, grass growing, flowers blooming, clouds drifting by. It was a great day, great morning. It really was. And all of a sudden, it felt like God took an Olympic-sized swimming pool full of love and just dumped it on me. I mean, it didn't end. It kept coming, and it kept coming, and it kept coming. And that's when I realized the weight that it had. And then all of a sudden, I'm feeling this pressure on my heart. And I'm like, I'm doubled over, and I'm like, God, I can't take it. It's too much. And it just kept coming. And that's when I realized, I didn't fully realize, but the depth of God's love, the breadth, the width, the weight, it's real. It's all around you. You're in it, whether you know it or not. It surrounds us. And the Bible says from the very beginning that God commanded his love towards us. And that's how I know it's all around us all the time. He commanded his love towards us. Anyways, I'm practically on my knees. The love's pouring down. And I asked God, I said, please make it stop. I can't take it. It's going to kill me. Because I felt like my heart was going to explode. And it stopped. Okay, that's fine. That was how he reclaimed me. It's the things that God does for us after he reclaims us that are the most wonderful. I don't know how to describe it. But the next verse I'm going to read is from Proverbs, and it's my life verse. It's from Proverbs 13, verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. All those years that I had spent building my wall, well, the mortar that I used for each block or brick was hope. That little ember that I kept, did I mention? Even though I would reject love if it was coming at me, on the inside, I was still had hope that this one would be different, this one would be better, this, you know. And the Lord is my hope. I mean, I was broken, so broken. God, y'all have no idea how bad off I was. I was so broken that when my family, aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents, friends, family at church, the preacher, deacons, whoever, anyone tried to hug me, I'd draw up just like this. And I would stay like that. And I would just. And it was impossible for me to open my arms and let them hug me. I gradually got to a point where I could pat them on the shoulder. I love you too. I didn't know what love was. This was before the wall falling down thing. Well, anyways, the mighty wind, that was a good, I wish I could, y'all could experience that for yourself. The funny thing about pain and hurt, that utter despair and brokenness, that rejection, it's not something you do to yourself. It's something that someone did to you. All of my brokenness, almost all of it was because of something I had done to me. The one that hurt the most when my wife said she can't stand me, that one right there was just brutal, brutal. If you're, and I'm just speaking from my heart, if you're watching online and you're in an adulterous relationship, you need to cut that out right now. You have no idea how devastating adultery is. I honestly think that adultery is probably the most selfish thing anyone can do. I really do. You're willing to lose your family, your home, your life as you know it, everything. For that, you're going to give all that up? What, God gave you all this and you're going to kick it all to the curb just for that? You have no idea the devastation that adultery brings. It almost killed me. The only reason I didn't die is because God had mercy on me. But when he told me that he loved me too much to let me continue, that was my moment. I have no doubt that had I continued on any further with my grieving, he would have just gone ahead and called me to home. I was walking dead anyway when that happened. And that was because of adultery. My children grew up without a dad, as wasn't me as a dad anyway. Look what I was deprived of. Ball games, parent-teacher conferences, scraped knees, broken bones, speeding tickets. All those things that happen while your child is growing up that you get to walk through, love them through, and share in the experience with them. All of that was taken. But it was all of that and more that Christ took care of when he tore down my walls, when he set me free. When those walls fell, I was no longer in chains. I was free. Freedom is scary. If you've never been set free, if you don't know what that feels like, it's scary. It's so scary that rather, when faced with it, because it's so foreign to you, you will run back to captivity because you're perfectly comfortable wearing those chains. You know what they feel like. You know how heavy they are. But the Lord said in his word, free indeed, right? Free indeed. I really hope that if you're watching online and you're a teenager and you're in a bad relationship or you just had a breakup, it's not the end of the world. There's no need for you to take your life. Suicide is not the answer. You are loved so much more than you know. Each and every one of you, each and every one of us, are loved so much more than we can imagine. You are precious to God. Precious. Priceless. If you're in a place of despair, if you've been abused or worse, I know your pain. You're not alone. I'm standing here as living proof that there's hope, that you can be reclaimed, that God loves you. I wish I could tell you how much he loves you. There's a guy online named Captain Dale Black. He does a really good description of that love. When I heard his story, I was like, yes, somebody gets it. Finally, somebody I can relate to that gets it. Now, there are plenty of people that are saved that have experienced God's love on that level, and they understand and they know the feeling and they know what I'm talking about, but it's just, it's incredible. It really is. Lord, please let your spirit speak to me. I feel so much for you right now. I'm only here, Lord, because you allowed it, because you made it possible, Father. Lord Jesus, I wish and I pray, Lord, that right now someone's watching that's watching online. Lord, please set them free. Please do for them what you did for me. Give them hope, because I didn't have hope. Restore their life. Help them know the fullness of the joy of you, Lord. Father, I just thank you so much for what you did for me. Lord Jesus, in your word it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The love that Jesus brings into our lives doesn't hurt. Remember what I said. If it didn't hurt, it wasn't love. No. Christ Jesus is love. And his love doesn't hurt. There's hope. Don't give up. Don't give up. Tomorrow's a new day. God loves you. And whether you know it or not, you are loved immensely, immensely loved. So you please hang on to that hope. And day by day, things will get better. Don't give up. Don't do it, please. There's so much joy yet to be experienced. if you have never known Christ Jesus, if you would like to know the Lord as I do, as many of us do, if you would like to grow in your knowledge of Him, because a lot of people say, I believe in God, I believe in the Lord, but they don't know why, just because people have talked about Him forever. Maybe that's the only reason, but they don't know Him. They know about Him, they know of Him, but they don't know Him. If you would like a personal relationship with Jesus, you have to start by admitting you're a sinner. You're broken, just like I was. I was broken. And if you don't know Christ, and you're in that place of hurting and pain, you're broken too. And if you would like to be healed, you need to be forgiven of your sin. And it's really simple to get saved. So, if y'all don't mind, just stand up, and I'm going to go ahead and if you would like to receive Christ as your Savior, if you know that you need forgiveness, if you want to be in a life that's full of love and healing and restoration, with every head bowed and every eye closed, say this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask you for your forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ. I believe that you died for my sin. I believe that you were raised from the dead. I want to trust Him as my Savior and follow Him as Lord from this day forward. Guide my life and help me do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I let them start singing, that person that's watching, God really loves you. He really, really does. Don't give up. The best really is yet to come. Thank you. Thank you.
there's no other name but the name that is Jesus. He who was and still is and will be through it all. So come with me in the space between all the things I've seen and this reckoning. I know
Well, you know, this is kind of what we do each and every week here as a family. We lock it up and pray. So as you're getting ready to get in position to lock it up and pray together, I'm so thankful, first and foremost, that Tracy took time to share his story today. But as we get to pray, maybe some of you right now are thinking through responding. Maybe some of you right now just need to talk to someone. Maybe you responded to salvation, or maybe you heard Tracy's story and the things in his story that he struggled with, the things that he talked in his story of redemption. Maybe you're walking through right now and you feel like you're all alone, and I want you to know that you're not. You have a family here that loves you, that wants to walk with you through that. So if you want to reach out to us at prayer@thevine.tv, or you could give us a call or shoot us a text at 864-580-6698, we would love to walk with you through this season, not in condemnation, as John 3:17 says, but in love, like the Father gives in John 3:16. So let's lock it up and pray together as a family, and let's go have an awesome week. Dear Jesus, thank you for this time together. Thank you that you are our redemption, Jesus. Thank you that we don't have to have it all together. Thank you that we don't have to work our way to you. We don't have to earn our way to you. That we don't have to be perfect and cleaned up to be used by you, to be loved by you, to be met right where we are from you. So Jesus, today, wherever we are, whatever season we're in, whatever walk of life we are in, Jesus, I pray that we would feel your presence with us, that we would know that you are there with us, that we would feel you there, that we would experience you. And Jesus, after we do that, that we wouldn't keep it to ourselves, that we would share you with the world. And so Jesus, today, whatever we brought in here, we're laying at your feet. Whatever struggle we have, whatever part of our story maybe we're ashamed of, whatever thing in our story right now that we're struggling through that we may not know the answer to, Jesus, we know that you and you alone are the answer. So today I pray that we would lay that at your feet. As we continue into this story series and as we continue into this week, Jesus, may we reflect you, may we be you, and may we show the world that we are not alone in the fire, that there is another in the fire. No matter what season comes our way, no matter what battle comes our way, we are not walking through it alone, because there is another, and that other is you. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. We can't wait to see you back here next week as we continue our Reclaim Story series with Tim Ott and Jeremy sharing their story.